Harvey. Well, good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night family night here at the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God in Cary. We are so glad you're here. We invite people to have our prayer requests online. If you're watching online tonight, type them in all caps, and we will pray corporately at the end of our service here. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to just type them in, and we will have somebody hopefully get up here to the microphone and read your comment or question at the appropriate time. We are on lesson 8 out of our Second Mile Leader Bible study. Now, I'll tell you, if anybody's been looking at the handouts and looking ahead and all that stuff, I didn't like our title tonight. Did anybody else like the title? I almost called in sick. Pastor Joe said he's used to it. We don't get to get what we want.
I think that's a good title.
Sister Sally likes it.
Because
Sister Sally says we think he owes us something. You know what I love about Sister Sally, other than everything? You know what I love about Sister Sally? Reads ahead. She studies the lessons plan, and she's already got it. Amen. So we always feel like God owes us something. I thought it was an interesting subject matter for our lesson plan tonight. If I guess this is one of those, I think most of our lessons from week to week have been very encouraging, empowering, knowledgeable things about being the church and growing into a leader and being led by the Spirit and being the church outside of the church. But tonight, I thought, we should be handing steel-toed boots out at the door. Because I'll tell you, when somebody tells you you can't always get what you want, most of us feel like that's a bad thing. Amen? How many people here love not getting what you want? Anybody? It's not normally a good thought. And I don't know, in the book, I don't know how many people were able to read the book, but the author of the book talked about a story when he was a child. And this one really hit home to me because my daughter kind of played a similar trick on me when she was young. But he said when he was a little kid, he wanted a go-kart for Christmas for years and years and years. That's all he wanted was a go-kart. And he said, but I never told my mom and dad that I wanted a go-kart. He said, I just told God. Lord, I've been a good boy. Please let this year be the year that I get my go-kart. And he said he was kind of just wanting to see if God was real, if God was faithful, if God was a God of prosperity, that all we got to do is be a good little boy and girl and ask God for it, and he'll give it to me. And he said, I went years and years in frustration and discouragement saying, why, Lord? Why again this year didn't I get it? He said, and eventually as I grew older, he said, I kind of forgot about that individual circumstance until he said it just kind of got dug up one time in my adult life when something didn't go my way, and he said I just threw a little temper tantrum, and he said I realized thinking back on it that had been festering inside of me all these years, and that the reality of it was I thought God owed me a go-kart, Sister Sally. And he said he heard in his mind one day when he was praying, he said, I heard God say, I don't owe you, I own you. I bought you with my blood. And he said that was a day when his whole life changed. And he said he had a whole new perspective on it. And that was kind of how the book started in the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 pages. And then it just kind of switched to the root of all this. And as you, if you've looked through your lesson plan, the author says the one thing he wants to focus on this week is jealousy. And he said he believes that that is the main ingredient of I should get what I want. Can anybody in here, and I'm being honest right now, and I'm going to ask it backwards so nobody has to raise their hand and tell them themselves. Is there anybody in here that can honestly say you've never felt jealous? Anybody? And I'm being real. Can you honestly say that I was just born from the cloth, man? I was raised up to just love others. And because obviously if I said, has anybody in here ever been jealous? And you'd have most people raise their hand. Some people might not. But when I was reading the lesson, I thought how true that is, that the spirit of jealousy or the flesh can be the root of so many terrible, terrible things. I would argue that nothing good will ever come from jealousy. Can anybody give me an example of something good that comes from jealousy? And the reason I believe that is because there could be something. And one of the scriptures you guys are going to read tonight is kind of an interesting one, but it actually says something about our achievements. And I was thinking about what does that mean? And even though you might achieve something because you're jealous, your motive's wrong. Amen? So that turns that into a negative. Okay? So what I wanted to do tonight first, before we get too deep into the lesson plan, because I think it's important that we pound the message of the author home with scripture. And I think the author has a couple scriptures in here, but it didn't take me very long to find about 12 of them. So if I asked you to read a scripture tonight, I'm just going to go down the list. I'm going to hand a microphone here. And then you just pass it back and forth. That way everybody doesn't have to get up. So if you don't mind, just read your scripture. I don't care if you tell us what version of the Bible you're reading. You just read whatever you like on your phone. So go ahead, Pastor Joe, and start reading those.
You 1 through 3, you said?
Is that 1 Peter?
1 Peter 2, yep. 1 through 3. I'm just making sure I get the right verses.
Yep.
So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
So envy's in that scripture. It says envy. It doesn't use the word jealousy, but that's the same thing.
Galatians 5:14. From the NLT, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, yeah, just to pass it right behind you, they got scriptures. Just going to go right down the line there.
Okay, I have Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers, lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
Covet's the same thing as being jealous. So some of these translations might not use the word jealous, but it's in there.
1 Corinthians 3:3. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world?
This is Ecclesiastes 4:4, NIV. And I saw that all toil and achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind.
James 3:16 ESV version, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice.
Now I thought mine was Proverbs 6:34, but Les says that's his, so what was mine?
27:4.
Okay, he'll read his first.
For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance.
Anger is cruel and wrath is like a flood, but jealousy is even more dangerous.
Who's next? Yeah. Oh, that's Teresa. Okay. We jumped over there. Tracy, Philippians 2, 3.
Mine's Proverbs 14:30. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones.
Philippians 2, 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves.
Amen. So I just wanted to read those before we really got into the author's subject matter, because he said that it was the main ingredient in not getting what we want and focusing on jealousy. He said is the main ingredient to discontent. When we don't get what we want, we become a martyr, the lesson plan says. And that's jealousy. He says, is God listening to me? Does God know where I am? Does God really love me? Is God mad at me? What did I do wrong? Says we'll deal with feelings of guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy. And he says, but I think the main one there is jealousy. And that should be, those are the first four answers on your paper if you're filling those in. Guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy. And I was trying to think of examples today. I have the luxury of spending about three and a half hours in my car all by myself every day. Some people wouldn't think that's a blessing, but sometimes it is when you're trying to think about stuff. And I was trying to think of all the things and the obvious things that we consider jealous. Like, I wish I had a pair of glasses like he's got. Those are really nice. Wish I had a jacket like Pastor Darius's. Wish I got to sit in the front row. Wish my car was as nice as his car. I wish I got all that gifts that were just given out to people. I wish I would have got one. Those are the obvious ones, the easy ones to say that we're jealous of somebody else for what they have. But my mind started going with another thought on jealousy today. What about, why does he get to do it? I could do it better than him. So I'm not jealous of the fact that he's got it, or he's better at it, or he's not better at it. That's because I think I'm better than he is. So I thought that's not really being jealous of the person, but their promotion or their position or an opportunity. And I got to thinking about, you know, becoming rich and famous. You know, we probably have people in this church that can sing well enough, play an instrument well enough, preach well enough to become famous. You know that? You know what they need? An opportunity. They need to be at the right place, at the right time, with the right person, with the right everything just lined up just perfectly. That's why there's not so many of those people out there. It's not always just about the talent that you have. It's the opportunity to use it in the world is what I'm talking about. And we become jealous when somebody else gets an opportunity we didn't get or has a position that we didn't have. And I started thinking about it. And I thought, rather than focusing on not having what someone else has or not getting the opportunity that they had, I started thinking, what if I just focused on using what I've got? Come on now, somebody think about this. Maybe look for the opportunities that I have. My opportunity might not be the same as Jesse's, but it might be just as good, but I don't have any idea how good my opportunity is because I'm looking at his. I'm worried about having what he has instead of looking at what's right in front of me. Taking advantage of what God's put right here in front of me to do what he's asked me to do because it's different than what he's asked Mike to do. Does that make sense? So you're going to, Pastor Joe said one time, and I don't know if he made this up or if he gives credit to somebody else, but in my Bible, it says PJT behind it. And he said, don't miss what you're looking for because it doesn't look like you thought it would. And I thought about that today because that's what jealousy can do. Jealousy can put you right back there in that corner chair, curled up in a ball, not doing anything because I'm mad. What are you mad about? Because I didn't get to sit where Josh does. That's my chair. I didn't get to come up and stand next to Pastor Joe Sunday when he called those other three people up to pray over people. Nobody asked me. So rather than looking for the opportunity that God's placed in front of me, I'll completely miss everything God's laid out in front of me if I'm over here looking at what everybody else has got. Does that make sense? And that's so much what I think our lesson plan's about tonight, is you got to keep your eye on what God's given you. Quit worrying about what God's given someone else. You want me to tell you why? Does anybody have a guess why? Because you're not somebody else. God has a purpose for each and every person in here. And it's different than mine. Does that make sense? And when we start learning that as Christians, We'll be better Christians. Can you be a jealous Christian? You can, huh? Just kind of tarnishes that Christian word a little bit, doesn't it? So I'm going to read a scripture that's one of the scriptures that I fell in love with when I first got saved. That's going to put a cap on all that. And it's out of Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And it's the Apostle Paul. And he said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. And then he caps it all off with one of the famous Bible scriptures. He says, I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the reassuring word that I wanted to pick out of that one scripture, there's two words I want to focus on. The first one is content. Can I tell you that I believe that's the exact opposite of jealousy? If you can be content, you will not need to be jealous. But the word I want you to focus on here is learned. The Apostle Paul said, I learned to be content. Because our human nature is no contentment in it. Our nature is chaotic. It's full of greed and jealousy and fleshly desires, things that we want for our own personal pleasure and satisfaction, where we'll run over people to get it if it makes me feel better. But if I can just learn one day at a time to be closer to being content, I'll be better today than I was yesterday. Is it possible to ever be fully content? I think so. I surely think so. Does that mean you'll never have a desire come up in your mind where you'll have to snatch it out? No. But I think you can learn to be content. And let me tell you another secret. That doesn't mean when you've acquired all the riches in the world and got all the things you've ever desired, you sit down in your recliner and say, I can finally be content. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is chasing that dollar, chasing that next best thing, chasing, I always like to say, chasing that shiny lure, because that's what it is. When you're chasing a shiny lure, something that's attracting your eyes, the lust of the eye, the Bible says, it's usually got a hook in it, doesn't it? So that was how I wanted to start tonight. That contentment is a state of your heart. And when you get contentment in your heart, it'll be easier. Maybe the word soul, based on our Sunday mornings we've been hearing, it'll make it a whole lot easier for your mind to go there. But if you don't have any in here, your mind just got, you just wear yourself out. I would actually say you'll wear yourself out. You ready for this? Pretending to be content. Because that's what it would be. Is if you don't have any contentment in your heart, you can come to church every Sunday and say, oh, I'm content. I don't even care. My car got a scratch in it, and that's okay, Pastor Darius.
I think one of the ways that we as Christians can be able to conquer what we know is not from God, and jealousy in this context is not from God, is first of all to, you know the source of it. Where did it come from? The first created being in this earth that felt jealousy was Satan. Mm-hmm. He was jealous of what God gave men. So therefore, his goal was to put the same seed on man, on humanity. And then I believe that comparing with others is the seed of jealousy. When you compare anything you have, everything, anything you do, or even your own self with somebody else, that could be a seed for jealousy. And that's the way to identify where it's coming from. And then the second step is to conquer that, is to do what the scripture says, to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. So as Brother Ryan was saying, we have all felt it at least once in life. Jealousy is something that it's in our nature, and we know it's not good. So I believe that we can also conquer that jealousy by knowing where it's coming from. And second, it's very easy. Do not entertain the thought. Do not feed it. Just take it captive to the obedience of Christ. And when you do that, you do what he was just saying. You learn. It's a process. And what you feed is what you become. So I guess that's something I want to share.
Amen. Amen. So we've talked a lot about being jealous from a biblical standpoint. What most people would agree that what we read tonight was mostly about being jealous with other people. But the lesson plan takes that a step further, because all of that stuff that's seated inside of you where you're jealous about, it's kind of like a me, right? The me. I think Sister Betty taught one of the lessons that was about I, remember? It's all about me. And when you're that way with people, you will be that way with God. I think there's a scripture in the Bible that says, if you can't love your brother whom you can see, how can you love God who you have not seen? And I feel like that's parallel to jealousy. If you're a person who wanders around this world jealous of everything that you don't have, who are you going to blame? Come on, believers. Okay? The guy on the street corner who doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, who's never asked him into his life as his Lord and Savior, the atheist, all these other people that don't claim to be believers in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they might blame someone else. But who's a Christian going to blame? We're going to blame God. Deny it to yourself, but you can't deny it to me. I don't believe you. It's all going to come back to where if I don't have it, it's going to be, Lord, my dad used to say, Lord, why me? Every time I'd do something dumb, he'd always say, Lord, why me? But that's where a Christian's going to go back to, because we believe that he's our source. Whether we trust him to be our source all the time is one thing. Whether we allow him to be our source all the time is one thing. Whether we're content with what he provides for us is another thing. But the fact is, if you're a Christian, Bible-believing Christian, you believe God's your source. You believe God created everything. He's above everything. He's authority over everything. So eventually, if you're a sour tomato, jealous and angry and bitter all the time about everything around you, you're going to end up blaming God. If you run out of everybody else to blame, you're going to end up blaming God because he didn't do it for you. What a lousy, terrible, lonely, bitter place would that be when all we do is sit around and blame God for everything that we don't have. And that's where it kept, this whole lesson just kept, I'll be honest with you, it stomped all over my feet. Everything I read about, everything I thought about, every time I looked at a scripture, I kept saying, I've thought that. I've felt that. I've seen that. I've had to battle against that. Ready for this one? I still feel that way sometimes. Uh-oh. That's when your toes start getting stepped on. When you're honest with yourself and you say, I still feel that way sometimes. It's when we claim to never feel that way ever, ever, ever. Oh, I used to be that way till I got saved. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you say that, you're right here. You ain't going any farther. You're right here. And what you're going to end up doing, you're going to start going backwards. I promise you. So if it's in you, recognize it, admit it, and start learning to be content. Get it out of there. Pray it away. The one scripture that we read tonight that didn't have the word envy or jealous or malice or anything like that, it was Pastor Alicia's. It said, love your neighbor as yourself. You know you can't love me if you're jealous of me, Sister Sally. You can't. You might say, I love you, you dirty scoundrel. I can't believe I'm right. But you're not really loving on me if you're jealous of my shirt or my tennis shoes. Pastor Alicia.
So I've heard a phrase before that says, we tend to judge other people by their actions, but yeah, we judge ourselves by our intentions.
Yeah.
And so it's really easy to even miss that this is in our lives because we're not intending to be jealous. Mm-hmm. That's not what we plan to do. And so you can completely miss it. And so two key things I think you have to have in your life in order to really be honest with yourself is, number one, devotional time with God.
Yep.
Because Amen. He will show you if you give him time to.
Yep.
And if you're listening. But if you're not listening, you could go about your life and miss this for your entire life.
That's true.
Other people will see it in you.
Right.
But you won't see it.
Right.
And then so the second part is relationships. If you give people permission to speak into your life and really be honest with you, because most of your friends won't be
right
about something like this unless you give them permission and say, I yeah. really want to know my blind spots. And those are the two things that otherwise you can't learn to be content if you don't realize you're not content.
Right.
And so you have to be honest with yourself.
Amen. There's another little saying where the people says, everybody always wants you to be honest with them until you are. Are you mature enough to handle it? That would be the question we need to take out of that comment tonight. Are you mature enough to handle it? If I walk up to you and say, you know what, brother? I know you mean well, Pastor Joe, but this isn't really him, okay? He does this to me Sunday. He doesn't really do this, but I'm just going to use him as an example. That was a little harsh, Joe. You know? I know you didn't mean it that way. But you crushed Mike this morning. Well, how? I was just being honest with Mike. I heard somebody say the other day, they said, everything that comes out of your mouth ought to be true, but everything true doesn't need to come out of your mouth. There's a time and a place for that. And as Pastor Alicia said, if nobody's giving you permission to speak truth into them, hold on to it for a minute. Because I can tell you right now, as Pastor Alicia just said, they're not going to receive it. They're not going to hear it. You know, we talked about that one other time when somebody first starts coming here. They already know they're messed up. Right? When you start going to church first time, you've lived a life of misery and chaos and you're wore out. One of your friends has been going to church for years and you finally go, I'm going to go with you, man. Can I just try this thing? They don't need you to tell them all the stuff they're doing that's dumb. They already know that. Tell them something new. Preach the gospel to them. Come on. Wouldn't that be fun if we quit telling people what they're doing wrong and start telling them the things of goodness of God? Amen. So Song of Solomon is our scripture that the lesson plan used. And it says that jealousy as cruel as the grave, because it can eat you up. Go to the next one, Jimmy, if you got it there, because I'm going to get off track here. So the next one says, second mile leaders know that God doesn't owe me, he owns me. We already talked about that. We were bought with a price. So when we get out of that feeling of people or God owing us something, I think we've heard that before. We talk about that as our current generation, don't we? It's kind of an entitlement. When you feel entitled to something and you don't get it, boy, oh boy, look out. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Now, if I'm just hoping I get it and I don't get it, I can deal with that. But if you owe me, I got my eye on you. You better make sure you give it to me because you owe it to me, right? That's what they're talking about there. It says God doesn't owe us wealth. He doesn't owe us retirement. And here's the worst one. It says he doesn't even owe us an explanation. Anybody ever had your dad or mom say, do it just because I said so? That's kind of how God works, isn't it? If you trust him to be the Lord over your life, we shouldn't always have to ask why. Sometimes, this is true, sometimes you're better off not knowing. You believe that? Sometimes if you knew the why, you wouldn't want to do it. Sometimes the why is way down there somewhere where if I told you why, you wouldn't believe me anyway because you can't see it. That's something that the author was talking about, that he got jealous and he got discontent and all this stuff, and he went in the world chasing money. And at the end of it all, and I don't know how many of you read the chapter, but at the end of it all, he came back to that go-kart and he said, my Lord, it was all so that I would learn to be content starting when I was a little kid. That's why I didn't get the go-kart. First of all, I didn't need it. Second of all, I thought God owed it to me. And thirdly, he said, after all these years, I think back now and say, now I know. Has anybody ever had one of those God moments where you look all the way back in your life and say, now I understand? The unfortunate part of that is a lot of times those aren't pleasant memories, are they? A lot of times, I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times the hardest things in our life, the old, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger theory. But a lot of times those hardest things in our life are the ones that make us the biggest examples, the biggest testimonies, the biggest achievements, all the things that turn good, you look back and there was something hard before it. Life's not always, jealousy means life owes me something. I bought my daughter a sign when she went to college that said, you don't get what you wish for, you get what you work for. And that's not in the Bible, but I thought it was good to put on her desk. To remind her that you can't sit around and just wish for stuff. Amen? All right. So one of the things I like, the author said, let me read this next scripture. Jimmy's keeping me on track here. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. I don't think we read that one. I tried not to give anybody ones that we already had in the lesson plan. So it says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So in earthly terms, if I said that somebody bought you for a high price, you would have no choice but to see value in yourself, right? Wouldn't that be true? If we were looking for people to serve on the worship team, and Sister Debbie had a bunch of Monopoly money, we said, okay, Debbie, you can buy a bunch of people to sing on your worship team today, and we're going to auction them off. And Brother Diltz was the highest one. She paid the most for him. She didn't even put a bid in on me. Wouldn't I be tempted to sit here and go, he's worth more than I am? Now, maybe if Mike, she paid half for him what she paid for Brother Diltz, Mike would go, well, at least I'm worth something. Right? But I got news for you. Every person on this earth was bought at the same price, and it was high. Amen. So everyone in here has the same worth. If you can look around this room and see one person that you're better than, you're the problem. Pray about that. Have some devotional time like your pastor. Maybe just come up and sit with the pastors for a while. Amen? Because that's what God is saying in this scripture. We were all bought with a high price. We are not better than one another. We're better together. We're a church, ecclesia, that doesn't have rankings and categories. Those are just symbols of authority to keep order. That's all that God put that for. Not to say that you're better than him, or she's better than her, or you're worth more than that one. That's not what it's for. It's a responsibility that people get called to, that they step into and try to fulfill the calling that God's put on their life to assist the church. That's it. It doesn't put a higher price on you. Can everybody agree with me on that? We're all equal. We were all bought with the same currency. We were all paid. Everybody, it was a buy one, get all for free, right? We all came in the same boat. We were all given the same measure of faith. And we all have the same salvation available to us. And that's for everybody that's in this church. And that's everybody that's sitting on their couch at home. That's the people that are sitting in the bar right now. That's the girl dancing in a strip club. That's the guy sitting in a slot machine. That's the guy sitting in a 6x6 cell in Mansfield because he killed somebody. That's what the Bible tells me, that Jesus, his blood, bought all of us. Not just me. Not just Tasia. Not in any specific order, but everyone. So when we remember that will start rooting out that jealous spirit that keeps trying to sneak into your mind. I'm prettier than him. He's taller than me, right? Get rid of all that junk. Just be happy with who you are. Be happy who God made you, and look at what God called you into, and be willing. You hear me? Willing to step into that, even if it's scary. And if it's scary, as Pastor Alicia mentioned again, she had a whole lot of stuff packed in her one comment, but if it's scary, find somebody you trust and talk to them. Hopefully they encourage you. But at a minimum, I hope they're honest with you. Because sometimes honesty is not encouraging. But if it's true, you'll know that. But be willing. Be content. Love your neighbor. That'll make you a second mile leader. When you're willing to go that extra mile for your neighbor. When you're willing to go the extra mile for your neighbor, you're more likely to be willing to go the extra mile for your Savior. And I'm just trying to keep it real with you, because I'm telling you, we can over-spiritualize everything, but how you deal with people matters. And it's a spirit that controls that too. One spirit or the other. Which one are you listening to? But we have to be able to love one another as we love ourselves. They're together. They're interchangeable. There's a scripture for that too. I didn't have time to write down all the scriptures. But how can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? How can you serve God if you don't believe you are a precious gift from God and that He was willing to die for you? And if you believe those things, how can you not serve God? I just believe that. And I think we all, as Brother Darius said, we all have opportunities to, what did you say, capture that thought? Take it captive. Take that thought. That's a scripture too. Yeah. Brother Jesse.
So along with what we've been talking about looking at everyone through God's eyes and giving them the same value that God has given us, one of the things that helps me when I begin to wrestle with the thoughts of jealousy or envy or comparing is I just begin to look at what I do have, as you began to say, and I begin to be thankful.
Amen.
And have that attitude of gratitude. You know, the other day, honestly, I was eating lunch, and as I had the food in my mouth, I'm like, God, thank you that I have food to eat right now.
Yeah.
And God, thank you that I have food in my cupboard for my kids to eat.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, that I can go outside on a cold day and I can be warm.
Yeah.
It's the simple things for me anyways, when I go back to, you know, like ground zero, like, hey, this is what really matters. Those are some of the things that really help me, and it's just in a practical way, because as you're saying, sometimes we get these things that just wash over us and it's just like, it's not good. We wrestle with these things and it's like, this is not from God. This is not what God wants. And so through prayer, through devotional time, those practical things really help. But what really just hit it for me, I'm like, God, I'm just thank you that I have shoes on my feet and I can walk across a stone parking lot. Amen. And not get things like that. So really just help me bring things into perspective. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. That's called learning to be content.
So I think another key, you're talking about contentment, but another key to that is humility. And humility is preferring someone else over yourself. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I don't ever see parents jealous of their children. They want to promote their children. They want them to do better than they did. And so if we're really the family of God, wouldn't I want my brother or sister to do better than me? Mm-hmm. Why would I be jealous if they are exceeding and doing well? I should be able to rejoice with them.
Yep.
And so it's really about changing your mindset that it's about my brother and sister, and I want to help them succeed, and I want them to go as far as they can. And that doesn't reflect negatively on me at all.
Right.
Just like a parent. When your children succeed, that reflects well on you. Yep. And as a body of Christ, when my brother or sister is succeeding, that reflects well on our entire body.
Yeah.
And so I don't need to be jealous about that.
Amen. Can I read a scripture? Yeah, go ahead.
When you were talking about that, I was thinking about the scripture. And then when Pastor Alicia said that, I thought, man, I need to read that scripture because it's just the word of God being said here. This mm-hmm. is not just something we say to keep our church healthy, or this is not something we say to look cool and we Christians are supposed to. No, it's the word of God. And it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Yeah. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others.
Amen. Amen. So that's the focus of our lesson tonight. And that's where, as we go through these 12 weeks, I like I said last time I was up here, if you follow the process of these chapters, it's just one right after another. And everything that we've read and we've studied and we've had taught and preached, it's all about making us better Christians. And if you're here tonight or online tonight, that should be our goal, a better follower or disciple of Jesus Christ. And you can't do those things and improve, you know, the bad stuff, the jealousy and the anger and the malice. Our next line on your paper is, a second mile leader, we have chosen to give our lives away. That's called making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Believing that your life is not your own. Believing that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Thinking that others are more, how do you say, thinking of other needs more important than your own. It's humility. It's love. Now that doesn't mean you don't take care of yourself. What that means is if I have a chance to help a brother or sister, I'm doing that. Because if I love myself and I believe that I'm worthy of the same worth as somebody else, I should already be taking care of myself, right? When I see Pastor Joe in need, I shouldn't have to say, well, hold on, let me go take care of myself first and then I'm going to come back and help you. I shouldn't have to do that if I'm doing, practicing what I preach. The next one here is James. Did we read James 4? We did not do that one, did we? And that was in the lesson plan, so let me read that one real fast. Unless somebody else has got it, somebody have it. James 4, 1 through 3. If somebody else gets it faster than me, jump up and grab it. Hasn't Jimmy's got it? Oh, good Lord, I can't read that. Let me do James 4, 1 through 3. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from the cravings that are at war within you? You desire and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and you war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive. Because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your evil desires. And that's a CSB. I don't know what's on the screen, but so it might have been a little different for you. But Pastor Joe.
Yeah, I've been sitting here the whole time thinking about this. you know, the whole idea of this is we don't get to get what we want, right? Mm-hmm. And that's your next fill in the blank that's up there.
Fill in the blank right there.
I'm going to help Ryan out tonight. But all of that, understanding that jealousy and where that comes from is birthed out of desires. Mm-hmm. But it's birthed out of wrong desires, the type of jealousy we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And those desires are found in 1 John when he talks about for all that's in the world, mm-hmm. the desires, or King James Version says the lust of the flesh, the desires or the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world.
Yep.
And then the Bible says this, and I think this is where we get our wires crossed, that if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. Well, we forget the first part.
Right.
We focus on the second part. Well, I'm going to get the desires of my heart. And we don't realize this, church, Christians, mm-hmm. followers of Jesus, that we've allowed this earth and the worldly things around us to taint us.
Yep.
And next thing we know, our desires have shifted. And our desires are desires of the flesh, desires of the eye, and coming from our pride.
Yep.
Which all those three things are what lead to sin.
Yep.
And if we realize this, jealousy's birth from those three desires. And it's going back to this, what this lesson is really saying is we don't always get what we want, because then we become spoiled brats that are only fixated on our fleshly human desires. And that's why we have to make sure, this is the pastoral side of me, I feel like I always go here Wednesdays, but it's just in me. So we have to make sure we have good doctrine and good theology. And I see a shift in the American church, and it's been there for a long time, where it's like God's, and please don't take this disrespectful, I don't mean any disrespect, but this is how people view God, as a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
And he's going to give them everything they want. And then they begin to think it's owed to them. Mm-hmm. And then going back to what you said at the beginning, then they blame God for not getting what they want because they take scripture and they mangle it up and they turn it into saying something it's not really saying. I get the desires of my heart when my heart's desire is delighting in him.
Amen.
He will provide my needs for me, but I'm not always going to get what I want, but I will get those desires because when my heart aligns with God,
Amen.
Because then I want what God wants, which James was saying, we ask amiss because we're not asking according to the will of God because no longer is our heart delighted in him.
Amen. Amen. And that's the hard part for people to understand, which is also in James, you know, I'll show you my faith by my works scripture. That's what James is talking about there. When you have the desires of the Lord in your heart, you don't have to try to do something that pleases the Lord. That is the thing that you're going to desire. Therefore, you're going to quit wanting this and start wanting this. You're going to quit craving this and you're going to be content with this. And that's being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost is what that is. And that's what James was talking about. I don't have to show you how good I am by going out and mowing the yard. He says, you're going to see, I'm going to mow the yard because of the spirit inside of me, not to prove to you that I'm a good Christian. And that's why we talk about it. It's not a works-based salvation, but you'll do those works because you're saved. It's an inverse of that. So thank you for that, Pastor Joe, because that's exactly that, and that sums it up. And then here's one I want to give you that wasn't in our lesson plan. Is that all the fill in the blanks? Did you get what you want? Okay, the last one, the worship of a second mile leader is to give their own bodies away. Once again, it's that selfless act of contentment and submission to the Lord and recognizing you were bought with a price. But here's one I want to give you so that you don't give up hope when things don't go your way. Because this is just a hard truth, and you can watch it in this world today. And I believe this is part of the reason we have those feelings of jealousy that spurn up inside of us. And that's also in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's in chapter 8. And it's verse 14. And the writer says, there is a futility that is done on the earth. There are righteous people who get what the actions of the wicked deserve. And there are wicked people who get what the action of the righteous deserve. So that is part of this carnal life on earth. So don't be discouraged if you see me getting something that you deserve. Because if you do, it's going to root up that spirit of jealousy or whatever it is. And that's what Solomon's talking about. He's looking about the meaning of life. And if you, I love the book of Ecclesiastes. I've said that up here before. But it's just such a real, down-to-earth overview of how meaningless most of the stuff here is without God. It'll all pass away. Amen. And that's what Solomon's saying. It's just a fact that some good people are going to have bad stuff happen and some bad people are going to have good stuff happen. It is what it is. So be okay with that. Don't let it discourage you. Amen. Does anybody have any other comments or questions? Sister Sally, I've been waiting on you all night. Come on up.
I think a second mile leader is to give their own self away. I don't think people understand that. They say, well, I did that. I gave myself to my husband, to my wife, so I'm okay. But that's not what it's saying. To give yourself away is to put everybody else before you. That's giving yourself away. It's some, you know this person, you know they don't never do nothing. They don't deserve nothing in the worldly thinking, you know, all this stuff. They're, you know, but here they are coming saying, give me $20. Well, you should give it to them, not expecting to be paid back, not thinking anything about it. That's giving yourself away. That's given to the Lord, really.
Amen.
And that's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they keep coming back, Mm-hmm. Now, let me borrow, and it never gets paid back. But we're giving ourselves away when we don't expect it to come back, and we don't say, how dare you not pay me
right
back. You know?
Amen.
I don't think people understand giving themselves away.
Yeah, amen. That's something that do you have the book, Sally? You do, don't you?
Yeah,
Sally's got the book, I can tell. She loves to read and study. I love that about you. Thank you so much. Because this is a thing that was in our lesson plan that I didn't bring up tonight because I thought we could misconstrue it a little bit, but Sally said it perfectly. Our lesson plan said, isn't it funny how you'll get upset if people use you? Like Sally said, give me $20. Can I have $20? Hey, can I borrow your car? Hey, can I borrow your trailer? Hey, can I do this? Hey, can I get that? And you get mad. They're just using me for my stuff. And they said, but holier than thou Christians, you'll get mad at Brother Jesse for borrowing your trailer, but then you'll come over here and go, oh, Lord, use me. And I thought, isn't that how we are? We want God to use us, but don't you let a person use us. By golly, dear. So that goes right back to that, doesn't it, Sally? We should just give out of the compulsion of our heart, be joyful. Now, there's limits to that. Don't get, that's what I do. I wanted to make sure when I wasn't going to bring it up myself because I was afraid I'd mess it up. People think I was saying, let people take advantage of you. That's not what I'm talking about. You draw the line when you need to because the Holy Spirit will tell you when to draw that line. And I believe that. Brother Dills, come right on up, brother.
I think one of the hardest things for us to do is to forgive when no apology was given.
Mm, amen. Yeah.
Another thing I thought was kind of funny, if everything's coming your way, you're probably on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah. Amen. That's true, too. Brother Diltz always has a good way to close her up. Amen. But how true is that? What do we think people owe us the most? Apologies. I'm not talking to them again unless they call me and say they're sorry. Well, what if you reached out and told them you forgive them? I don't know. They might be offended by that. They might not think they did anything wrong. But if you think they owe you an apology, the first place you ought to start is forgiving them, Brother Diltz. Amen. Maybe you don't call them. Maybe don't text them that. Give them time. Because if you forgive somebody that doesn't think they owe you an apology, they might come around and poke you in the ear, huh? But that is so true. That's tough to do. Because we think, what do we always say that? Even we even tell our kids that, you owe her an apology. Now, go say you're sorry. Sorry. Right? That's what you get. Let's not be that. Yeah. Amen. Is there any prayer requests tonight? Somebody had one. Maggie had one. We got that one, Harvey. Is there anybody else that has any prayer requests or any other comments before we finish her up? Brother Jesse.
The guy that I work with, his name is Raymond.
Raymond? Amen. A revelation. I got a testimony for the church. Has anybody ever been out here when Brother Jim's changed the lamp and the projector? Anybody? That thing? So Brother Jimmy, he's got a servant's heart. I will speak that first. When we have that projector lamp go out, there's really no good way to get to it. Well, Jimmy works in the service industry, for one, but he has an extension ladder that he uses for work. So Jimmy, whether anyone's here or not, bless his heart, we'll go up there and change that lamp out. So we were at the board meeting the other night, and we talked about getting a lift to make it safer to get to the lights or get to the roof or get to the projector. And I might be misremembering some of this. I'm just going to overly spiritualize it, so because, you know, we're in church. So don't correct me how if I get off, because this is what I believe happened. We were talking about getting a lift. And the board is responsible for the finances of the church, so we're trying to be responsible. And our leader, Pastor Alicia, how much are they? It's like, quit asking all those questions. No. So Bill Hooper gets on his phone. Starts looking, you know, I don't know where he was looking. 7,000, 8,000, 9,000. It's like, ugh. Don't even tell Pastor Alicia. She's not going to want to do that, right? Well, I believe it was Pastor Alicia said, why don't we budget some money for one and just keep looking? And everybody said, fine, fair enough. That's probably smart because we really don't got $8,000 to blow right now anyway. And I don't know who said it. Maybe it was Pastor Alicia. Because she knew they cost $8,000. So she said, why don't we budget $3,500? It's like, yeah, boy, good Lord. Okay. Well, Bill Hooper, was I close on that?
Close.
So Bill Hooper's still on his phone. And I'm sitting next to him. This is Monday night. And Bill goes, I said, what is that? $3,500. It was the perfect lift, exactly what we needed for sale for $3,500. Now, I'm telling you right now as I stand here, it wasn't on his phone 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I said, where's that at? He said, Cincinnati. I'm like, oh. So the first thing we're thinking, this isn't even real. It's one of those scams, people trying to get you to Venmo money, you know, whatever. So Bill hits the old, is it available? Brr, yep, still available. Are you sure? Are you a person? And they said, two people were supposed to come today, didn't show up. First come, first serve at this point. So Bill said, hey, if we can get this thing, I'll go get it. I'll keep communicating. I'll let you guys know. So Bill gets a hold of the guy yesterday. He says, I'm going to talk to him on the phone. Make sure he's real. The guy says, I'll hold it for you. So today, Bill Hooper took his personal vehicle and a trailer and a check to Cincinnati and brought back a like brand new one man lift with outriggers on it for $3,300. The guy gave him $200 for gas. That's a big deal, everybody. And that's something we really, really needed at this church. We have people that do stuff that may or may not be real 100% safe all the time without the lift. So for no other reason, we needed it for safety reasons around here. And it's going to make, our pastor was in it all day today. I think he was up on the beams checking for dust and all kinds of stuff. I got like 9 pictures of my phone with Joe all the way up in the rafters. But it works, doesn't it? And it's a great lift. So that was, our church was blessed. I just thought I'd bring that up tonight because it's all public knowledge for people. And I think it's in the room back here. If you want to peek at it before you leave, it's a really nice lift. But I wanted to take a minute to just testify about that because I do believe that was a God thing. I do believe that. We were looking for one, and we got one for under half of what the rest of them were. And the guy gave, when Bill got down there, he said he gave the guy the check, and the guy handed him $200 back. And he said, you know what? He said, I appreciate you showing up. He said, here's a couple $100 for your gas. I said, right on. So it all worked out really good, and they've tried it out, and it works. So praise the Lord for that. Any other prayer requests? Anybody else? All right, let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get out of here. Lord, we thank you for your blessings each and every day, Lord. We thank you for this word that we had tonight that came from your word, not our words, Lord, but your word. Lord, that you guide the motives of our heart, Lord, and our desires, that our hearts would desire what you desire, that we would love what you love and hate what you hate, Lord, that you would teach us the process of learning to be content, Lord, that you would continue to build us up and edify you in everything that we do, Lord, that you would teach us to love our brothers as we love ourselves and love our sisters as we love ourselves, and to love only you, Lord, to have only one God, and to let you be Lord over our lives, that you would change our hearts and our minds to think more and more like you each and every day, Lord. Lord, we offer up these prayers to unite for Harvey. Lord, you know what's going on with Harvey. Lord, you love Harvey. Lord, you bought Harvey with the same currency that you bought us for, Lord. So we just ask right now that you place your hand upon Harvey's life, that you give him what you desire for his life, that he would feel the presence of you in his life, Lord, like he's never felt it before. Lord, we pray for Raymond. Lord, we have a testimony tonight said that Raymond is seeking you right now, Lord. Lord, we ask that he just keeps seeking you, and Lord, that you show up in a mighty, mighty way for Raymond, that he sees you in a way that he's never seen or felt or heard about you before, that you would just dazzle him and shower him with your spirit of love, Lord, that he would feel the peace of God upon his life that he won't be able to deny. Lord, we just pray for salvation to come upon him and his family, that he would be a walking, living testimony at the end of this process, Lord. Lord, we ask this for all of our family and friends, for all those people that we encounter, that we could be a beacon of light, a light that shows your nature, Lord, that people would crave you through us and our actions, that we would represent you well in everything we do. Lord, we thank you for this time tonight of fellowship, and we just give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great evening.